1 Kings 17, as we're walking through this year, talking about thriving in the new year. I hope that you are working at that and trying to do your best with it. Sometimes we get to a point where we are seemingly struggling, it seems. It seems that things don't seem to always work out. We just try to survive sometimes. God gives us clear instructions, though, that we can be on top of that, and we can truly thrive. Now, we're going to move into 1 Kings 17. I want to bring a little story, this little very interesting story given to us in the Word of God, and make some application if we can this morning, and then wrap it up. But notice, again, you know this very well, I'm sure, the great story of Elijah and how God worked in his life and redirected him to go help somebody else. Now notice, if you will, verse 1, it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these days, but according to my word. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. It shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, and he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. She said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make thee me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make thee for thee and for thy son. For the Lord saith, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail unto the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. You know the story well, I'm sure, and you've heard it before. I remember hearing it as a young boy in Sunday school class, and I thought about it, and I thought, you know, as we try to thrive or attempt to thrive in the things of God for the new year, we get to some points or places in our lives where we get to kind of the bottom of the barrel, if you will. We get to the place where we're going, man, Lord, I can't do anymore. I can't go forward anymore. I'm burnt out. I'm tired. I'm weary. Elijah comes through this. He's gone through his own battle. He's gone through his own little desert time, if you will. And now God says, well, I want you to turn over this way, go eastward. And there's a lady there I want you to help. Now, again, we've made application to this before, but when Elijah's sitting there thinking about his own problems, you know, somebody else has got it worse off. And remember that, by the way. Somebody always has it worse than you. Somebody always has it better than you. That's just a balance of life. And he says, there's someone there. Now, Elijah's not there with a little kid. This lady's sitting there with a boy. We're not sure exactly of his age, but... And she said, we're just about to die. The famine was so harsh at that time. There was no water. There's no rain. There's no food, consequently. We're just gonna die. And you think about now, as we move forward, God will at times allow us to go through some seasons of life to help us to realize that He's all that we need. You know, you think about this. When we come to points and places in our lives where we are put out of our normal setting or normal comfort zone, if you will, we understand that God does His greatest works. Now, again, I said this before, but the flowers, the vegetables, the fruits, they all grow not on the mountaintop, they grow in the valley, don't they? Man, some of the sweetest times that you'll have with the Lord are down in that valley. And sometimes God will take you from where you were. Now remember, Elijah is the great prophet of God. He's the great prophet that's going to do some great things for God. He's already done some great things. And now God says, well, I want you to go over here and do this. Well, Lord, how am I going to eat? What am I going to do for food? He says, don't worry. The crows are going to come and drop some food for you. The crows are going to take care of that. Those ravens will come and they'll take care of you. Now notice this. It's when we do get out of our comfort zone, when we do get out of our normal setting, if you will, that God truly works in a great way. And I was thinking about that, if you ever had to go without something that you normally have. Somebody asked me a while back, do you like to go camping? I said, no. The best thing about camping is coming home, right? And you get a hot shower, you get some of you like camping. Praise the Lord. But you think about some of that. You get out of your normal routine. You get out of your normal thing. I've joked before, but my wife keeps threatening me she's going to go out of town. I'm going to go out of town. Then what are you going to do? Well, I can handle it. Don't worry. I can't handle it. No, I can't. I don't want to get to a point like that. And there's places and people that sometimes we get out of that normal routine, and God really reveals to us, hey, whoa, maybe I can't do it on my own. Maybe I do need the Lord. You get real resourceful, don't you, when you have to do something? You get all of a sudden, you get real MacGyver-like, you know, come up with it. I didn't know I could do that. Again, I said this many times, but when I was batching it, you know, I was a bachelor for a while, and man, I got creative. I got real creative. And I won't tell you the story about the ramen noodle burrito thing, okay? I've said that too many times and it gets too old. But you can come up with some stuff, man. You go to the dollar store and you can buy, you can make it a nice meal from the dollar store. You get the canned stuff and you get the canned vegetable soup and you got to pick all the meat out of it. Set that aside and then you kind of just can smash it all together. And you can make yourself, out of that meat, out of the canned vegetable soup, you can make a little chicken fried steak. And you get some saltine crackers, crush it up, and then put it in that. Man, I'm telling you, it's nasty, but you just close your eyes and go, thank God, I'm at Cracker Barrel right now. And as you just imagine that, and it feels good. Okay, some of you dear men that were in the military, and dear ladies that maybe are in the military, you know, you get real resourceful with that. You get real creative. And I thought about that. He said, listen, I'm going to take you out of your normal setting here, Elijah. I'm going to send you over to the brook. And now remember, Elijah's a little bit down. He just went through this. He pointed his finger at the King Ahab and said, listen, God's sending a famine to the land. And it's not until he brings me word again that it'll cease, that it'll lift. And Ahab puts a bounty out on Elijah's head. You know this. That wicked king puts a bounty out. Says, I want you find this guy, you kill him. Elijah goes out into the desert. By the way, God does his best work out in the desert. He really does. Desert times of life. You're going through a dry season right now. You're going through a difficult, maybe not so much difficult, but just dry season. Finances maybe aren't where they should be. I don't know, having some relational problems or something. You're having health problems. Some of you in here are dealing with some health issues. God's putting you through a desert time of life, and God will work in a great way. You get to see his miracles. Can you imagine the stories that Elijah told? You won't believe it, man. Those ravens came and just dropped down some meat for me, some bread. Now remember, this is a time of famine. Nobody has meat. Nobody has bread. Nobody has water, except the guy sitting out at a campfire somewhere. See, God does his best work in those times. Paul says, I was out and I had to go spend some time with the Lord out in the desert. Before Paul came and preached to the mighty masses, before Paul became the great apostle that he became, he had to go out in the time of desert. It was out in the desert that Moses was walking along, ready for retirement. By the way, 80 years old. You think you're done? Not yet. You think God's done with you? Not yet. He's out in the desert, and he sees a burning bush. He says, I will turn aside now and see what this is. Now, that's Bible talk. In real time, he said, what in the world? I'll go ahead and look at this. I want to check this out. It was out in the desert. It was out in the desert that God worked in a mighty way, that Jesus came, and it says he separated himself from the multitude and from the apostles and others. He went out into the desert, and for 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was tempted of the devil. He says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. And you think about now, the Lord says, I'm going to take you to this place because what? I want you to see what I can do. I want you to see who I am and that I'm able. And so many times if you're like me, boy, I doubt the Lord, don't you? Just doubt. Oh, Lord, I don't know what to do now. Have you thought about praying? I don't know what we're going to do now. Have you thought about trusting the Lord? One man was preaching one day and the head deacon of the church came up and said, Pastor, can we talk? He said, sure. He said, you know, in the last couple of years, we haven't seen much fruit. We've just seen one little boy saved. He said, I've got a problem with that. There's something wrong here. I don't know if it's your preaching. I don't know if it's we're not praying enough. I don't know what to do. And the pastor said, I agree. I know. He said, I've been trying my best. I've been preaching the word. We've been faithful. We've been passing out our gospel tracts. We've been sharing the gospel with people. We've been faithful. We need to trust the Lord. He said, yeah, but just one boy, one little boy, that doesn't make much fruit, brother. He was angry. He was upset. And he went on for years, and they preached several more years, and not much fruit. That one boy. And he kept thinking about that one boy. It bothered him. Except for that one boy became one of the greatest evangelists to ever live. One boy. I think about that. Did God bring us out here to the backside of the mountain here to start a church and do what we're doing? Which is, well, Lord, we've only seen a little fruit here and there. Hey, God may take just that little bit and expand it. God may take just that one little boy and use him to preach the gospel around the world. I think about it. We must trust the Lord. In the inconvenient time, in a different way, God will work in a mighty way. He says, notice, get thee hence, verse 3, turn to the eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be, for thou shalt drink of the brook, and I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. We would laugh at that. You know, Jesus says that, doesn't he? He says, not one bird falls to the ground that I don't know about. I know everything about you. I know everything that's going on. If we would but trust the Lord. I know everything that you're going through. I know every secret part of you. I know every secret thing. I know it. He says, I'm going to command those ravens to feed thee there. There is something interesting about those ravens, isn't there? You got to study. When you come across a word like that, take out your concordance and start finding all the verses that contain a certain word like ravens. Because Jesus talks about them, doesn't he? Others talk about these ravens. These ravens, boy, they're a pest. They're annoying. We know that. Now, around here, we have those crows. It's similar. They're in the same family as a raven. They're crazy. They're weird. Do you ever drive past them? They're eating some roadkill on the road. They don't even move. They just sit there, watch you drive by. I ain't scared of that bozo. They're tough. They're all over the place. God said, I'm going to use them to feed you. Verse 5, so he went and did. Notice, according to the word of the Lord. Friends, I don't need to remind you, but please pardon my repetition. You need to just go and do according to the word of the Lord. You can trust this book. You can trust it. You can't trust your coworkers. You can't trust Dr. Phil. You can trust this book. Do what this book says. God will never fail you. God will never let you down. Never. Not once. Well, Lord, I'm stepping out by faith and following the Bible. God says, good. Good. That's what I want you to do. Stop trusting yourself. Stop listening to TikTok. Stop listening to those reels on your phone. Stop listening to the psychology and other things that come out. I want you to follow me and my word. And I'm telling you, boy, God works in an unusual way. We must learn to wait on God's provision during God's time. We know that. He says, according to my word. So he went and did. Verse 6, again, the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning. Before he even woke up, it was sitting there. Wow, thank you. Now, you have ever tried to take something from a bird like a raven or crow? You know, that would be a fight. I mean, they'll attack you. It's not good. You're around a goose or a geese or those things will bite you, right? In the hind end, don't they? You ever been around one of those? Anyone in here have a rooster at home? You got a rooster? Well, those things are evil. I think those things are demon possessed. I mean, they are crazy. They will come after you and try to take something from them and see what happens. He comes out and just drop it right down from, had a little breakfast in the evening. Notice, he drank of the brook, bread and flesh in the evening, drank of the brook. It came to pass after a while, notice, the brook dried up. When the brook dries up, God may be redirecting you. Don't blame God. People get mad when the brook dries up. Well, Lord, what do we do now? I mean, you called us out here. I mean, you put us here, Lord. I mean, now the brook's dried up. You said, I prayed, Lord, this was the person I'm supposed to marry. Now this, we're having trouble. Now we're starting to doubt and question. Lord, we thought we were doing what's right, man. We're out here doing what you want us to do. We're faithful to church. We're staying true. We're trying our best. And the brook dried up. Don't complain. Trust the Lord. He's saying, well, I'm going to redirect you now. Okay. What do you want us to do now, Lord? There had been no rain. Now, again, this was the judgment of God upon the land. God is working, but God always takes care of His people during a time of judgment. God always takes care of His people during a time of judgment. Remember that. The psalmist says, I've been young and now I'm old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God takes care of His people. We know that. So He works in unusual ways. God may be bringing you through a time of a desert, a time of need. Again, we have said this many times, but you may need to need it more than you need to have it. And I'm learning that lesson, boy, over and over. I don't know why I can't figure that out. I need to need it. I don't want to need it, Lord. I want to have it. I want you to just answer my prayer. Everything falls into place. The kids don't get sick. Our marriage does well. The finances are set. Nothing bad happens. We don't get some kind of disease, virus, or cancer. Everything's great and grand. No. He says what? You may need to need it. And he brings him now, verse 8, the word of the Lord came unto him. By the way, don't move, don't take a step until the word of the Lord has come. Don't go forward. When do we know to go forward, Brother Tim? Someone said. I said, you trust the Lord. You spend time in the word of God. He will reveal to you when it's time. When it's time. So many times I get out ahead of the Lord when I shouldn't have gone. So he says, verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Do you see God's omnipotent power and control? We call it His sovereignty. We started on Wednesday evening looking at the book of Ephesians, a fascinating book of how God works. And we said, first of all, He declares to us and clarifies our wealth in Christ. And then the latter three chapters deal with our walk in Christ. See, we need to understand what we have in Christ first before we go forward and walk and do what He's called us to do, right? We looked at one word. He says, you are accepted in the Beloved. To have a healthy mental state of being, you have to understand acceptance. If you're not accepted by people, you have an unhealthy mental state, right? If you were rejected by a parent or rejected by a spouse, it messes with you. I want acceptance. Jesus said, I've fully accepted you. That's why when we put our heart belief in Jesus Christ at the moment of salvation, it's not of works of righteousness which we have done. It is not of those things, he says to the church there, that it will be a boastful thing. Well, I cleaned myself up. I got right with the Lord. I quit that sin. No, you didn't. Jesus took you in heart belief, and I said, Lord, I accept you as my personal Savior. I acknowledge what you did on the cross. I ask you to save me. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Not of works. What's he do? He accepts us. We do it his way. We follow suit in that. Now, okay, again. So we see here, he brings him to this place. And God commands not only the ravens, he commands a widow woman. Interesting to me, I've studied this many times, the widow woman didn't necessarily even know she was being used of God. Because when he gets there, what's he say? Ma'am? Yeah? Can you give me something to drink? Well, we're dying of thirst here. You want me to get you something to drink? And then he says, oh, by the way, get me something to eat too. Bring me a little muffin. The audacity of this guy. By the way, it's always the man of the pastor, the preacher, man. The audacity of this guy. How dare he ask us for this? You know God is using you and you don't even know it sometimes? Isn't that true? God is using you. You're in here today. You're maybe up in years. God's using you. You're a married couple. You don't have children yet. Well, God's using you. You're a middle-aged person. You have kids. You're pretty settled in. God's using you. And you may not even know it, and that's why we daily get alone with God and in His Word and in prayer and say, God, I want to be a vessel you can use. And you go through the day and you go, boy, I wasn't really used of God. All I did was get up, go to work, come home, normal day. You don't know that. You don't know who's watching you. I've said it so many times, but people have commented before and said, hey, Brother Tim, I saw you over at Walmart. I didn't even see him, you know, and I always say, I always think, hope I was doing something right, you know, hope I wasn't doing something wrong. People are watching us, aren't they? And now with the advent of technology, you're on social media and other things. People are always watching. I'll go to preachers' meetings or to Bible conferences or such and like it. I don't really know the person. I've only met them a few times. And they go, hey, I've been watching you online. I go, oh, wow. Better be careful. We've been watching. We've been seeing what's going on there. Now think about, God is using us and He will use. But notice He commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Verse 10, so he rose. He went. I like that. He arose and went. See, there's a principle in the Bible. It goes this way. An effort is demanded before a blessing can be given. An effort is demanded before a blessing can be given. Does that make sense? Jesus says this. Many times he'd come and heal somebody. He told the one guy, get up and go cleanse yourself. Well, why didn't he just say, you're healed? This is why we don't believe these TV healers. They're false people. It's not according to the Bible. You can't hit someone on the forehead and they're healed. Doesn't work that way. We believe in divine healing, absolutely. But you think about it, he says, now listen, there's an effort demanded. And we sometimes sit back and lay in bed and say, God, okay, bless my life, direct me, use us, help us, guide us, all these things. Hey, no, you need to get up, arise, and go do something and step out by faith. Now again, preaching to myself, arise and went. Nehemiah says to the people, he says, let us arise and build. He doesn't say, Lord, do a miracle now and rebuild this wall. Oh, bring the mortar and bricks together in a miracle. No. Go and do the work and I'll bless it. Lord, put together a church and a miracle work of it. No. Go forward and do it. Do your part in your marriage and let God do his part. Oh, Lord, change her heart. She needs to have a better spirit and attitude. No. You do your part and let God do his work in her heart. You understand and I understand there's an effort demanded by God to go forward. God never has used somebody who is a lackadaisical person in their faith, a lazy Christian in their faith. He doesn't use those people. Now think about this. He calls her. We won't read all of this. Verse 14, notice, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. I like this. Verse 15, so she went, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Plural, many days, many days. God wants to do a miracle work. God wants to do something in our lives. Again, bringing this back to the topic of thriving in the new year. Are we thriving? Are we seeking to thrive? Are we attempting to thrive and not just survive? If we will, if we'll let God be God and do our part, God will bless, God will work. You don't got to worry about God fulfilling his side of the obligation, his side of the contract. He'll do it. We see the word of God is obeyed. The word of God is made alive. The word of God is relevant for today. I love the Bible. If you read the Bible, some people get real bogged down. I was joking with a couple, I think it was Brother Fred, we were talking about it, but you get stuck in Leviticus or something and you're going, what? But you read the Bible, you realize it is a well-written, well-put-together book. It's not just this hodgepodge, here a little there, slap together some books, don't make sense, they're all out of order. Some people claim that. That's not true. There's a reason it's written in the order it's written in. We call it the canon of Scripture. There's a reason why there are four Gospels. There's a reason why Matthew comes first. Mark, Luke, John. There's a reason why the latter books of the Bible are put together. Why? I'm just saying you can trust the book. It is when we allow the Word of God to come alive in our hearts, we see God work. The Word of God is powerful. There's authority behind the words. The Word of God is inspired. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. We cannot trust our own hearts. If you were to trust your own heart, if this lady were to trust her own heart, if Elijah trusted his own heart, what would have happened? They would have both died. If this lady would have trusted her own heart, her son, and others in that whole village would have all died. Well, I don't see how that's going to work. You know, the average church today dies, just dies on the vine. Again, I say this, you may not know this because you're not around some of this stuff, but we hear of this all the time. Church after church. I can't tell you how many churches right now, good churches, older churches, they've been around since the 50s, have no pastor today. The pastor, because of his age and health reasons, has had to resign the church. It's not because he's done something sinful. He just can't stand up in the pulpit and speak or preach. But there's no one behind him coming and filling the gap. Hundreds and hundreds of churches just in America, churches like ours, same doctrine, same faith, that have no pastor, that are falling apart as we speak. They're dying on the vine, if you will. You think about this now. God is desiring to use us. If we don't trust our own hearts, We follow the Word of God. We go forward and say, I'll do what you want me to do, Lord. This word was specific to Elijah. The word is specific for you. You say, well, if I just randomly read the Bible, will it speak to the situation I'm in right now? Absolutely. The Holy Spirit will work. Again, the Holy Spirit is the author of this book. And every time you open it, you ought to pray this, Lord, speak to me. Bring something to my heart that's relevant, that I can apply, that I can use. And God will do it. God will do it. Okay, must hasten here. Let me cover a couple more points and we'll be done. We see that God uses the man of God and the woman of God according to their faith and obedience to the Word of God. He sustained them. Now, God may be allowing you to get to that, what we call the bottom of the barrel, verse 14, the barrel of meal shall not waste. Get all the way to the bottom until, what? You see God work? Lord, do the work. There's nothing else to do, Lord. Nothing else to do. When God is working, when we're preparing to die, I like this quote. When we're preparing to die, God is preparing to feed us. When we're preparing to die, God is preparing a meal for us. Man proposes something, but it's God that disposes, meaning it's God that does it. He'll put it in order. He'll go forward and do it. Friends, you can trust God. You can trust the Word of God. This is why I love this today, Baptism Sunday, we call it. But we've got some folks today that are coming forward to get baptized. It's not an easy thing to do. Many of you have done it. It's hard to do. I don't want to get in front of the whole church and be dunked underwater and have to deal with that's kind of embarrassing. It's kind of scary. Right? But you do it by faith. Why? Because you say, well, if that's what God wants me to do, then I'll do it. And God blesses that. When you're obedient to the Word, when you follow suit with it, we've had people come out like yesterday. We don't want to come out on a Saturday morning and go in and give a gospel tract to somebody that's going to be upset with us or irritated with us. We don't want to go to the post office in a restaurant or the gas station and hand people a tract or put it on their car or leave it at the table or do something. I'd rather sleep in. I'd rather watch the March Madness right now, okay? I'd rather be watching basketball. But what do? We go forward and do it anyways. Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. Lord, you are priority in my life. Now, okay, so when we are preparing to die, God is at work. Now, can you imagine what was going on? He says, ma'am, now with the little oil that's left and the little meal that's left there, go ahead and make a cake for me. Go ahead and use it. Well, don't you know I have a son here that's about to die? Go ahead and make it for me. Elijah already knew the power of God. By the way, when you've gone through the desert season, you're able to help other people that may not have entered the desert season yet. Does that make sense? See, Elijah had already gone through all of that. He already seen the ravens give the food and the bread and the water. He'd already seen the miracle work of God. And he says, well, honey, lady, he wasn't a married man, I don't think yet. But I want to help you to understand what I've been through. I want to help you understand what God can do. Paul puts it this way in the to the Corinthian church, and he says what? You're going through a season or a difficult time so that you can comfort one another. It is only when you are uncomfortable that you need a comforter. We know that. We've studied that many times. He says, I must go away, Jesus, but when I go away, I'm going to leave you the comforter. I don't need a comforter. I don't need a warm blanket, okay, if I'm not out in the cold. But it's only when we go through an uncomfortable season in which Jesus said, listen, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. And by the way, we don't deal with persecution. We don't even know what that's like. Okay, somebody called you a bad name. Somebody yelled out a dirty word at you. Somebody's persecuting. Somebody's talking bad about you at work because of your faith or something. That's not persecution. We don't know what persecution really is. And Jesus said, I will give you that comforter. Paul says, you will only comfort others when you yourself have gone through it. Look for opportunities in your life. You have a special, unique thing that you've gone through. A certain disease, maybe a certain situation that you went through recently. Look for other people around you that you can comfort with that. I can't comfort you with certain things. I've not been through it, but you have. I want to encourage. I want to be a ministry. I want to be something God can use in a great way. Okay, I've got many points here, but let's get to the latter point. God used in a great way. Now notice this. He says, verse 14, 15, verse 16, and the barrel of meal wasted not. I like this. Neither did the cruse of oil fail. according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. I like that. It did not waste, neither did it fail. Now again, can you imagine all that took place? They kept pulling it up out, the oil. They'd put their little dipstick in there or whatever you call it. And pull it out, little ladle in there. Okay, well, okay, okay. They keep pulling it out. I love the story of when Jesus feeds the 5,000. He says, what do we got? The apostles say, well, Lord, we've got nothing. What about that kid over there? A kid sitting there with his little, He-Man lunchbox. What do you got, kid? You talking to me? Okay, here you go. Hands it to him. I got some fish, some bread, but what is that among so many? Isn't that what we say sometimes? I ain't got much, Lord. I can't really serve you much. What is that among so many? Jesus said, well, just relax and watch me work. And they reached into the basket, that little lunchbox, and pulled out fish and pulled out more fish and more bread. So much that they had to take up 12 basketfuls of the leftovers. I'm not good with leftovers. Some of you are. Leftovers. I'd rather have something fresh, except when you run out of money, then it's all leftovers. He says, what do we got left, fellas? We've got 12 basketfuls. Do you realize that means nobody walked up and was still hungry? If one person was still hungry, they would have come up and got more out of those 12 baskets. That means every person. Now, we talk about 5,000 men. They didn't include the women and children. So imagine how many people were there on the grassy knoll. That means every person was so full, they couldn't eat one more bite. Oh, anyone else need fish and bread? We've got a little bit left over, like when we have a fellowship in the back. Anyone want any leftovers? Everyone, No, I've got so much. And notice what he says. This is an amazing thing. God didn't give her a new barrel, but out of the same came the blessing. Now, what I mean is, a lot of people think, well, if I had a different personality, if I'm different, if I wasn't going through this, if I wasn't born into this family, boy, if I had, then I could serve God. No. Out of the same barrel, out of the same whatever it was, came the new oil. God desires to take all of us and make us something, not something new. Paul says, Romans 12, he says what? I desire, I beseech you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Give God what you have. What do you have? You have your body. This is all I got, Lord. He said, that's what I want. I want to use you. The mighty men and women of God throughout the channels and halls of history, we find they're just normal people that desired to be used of God. God, use me and direct me and guide me. We don't have anything special. I'm not anything of any real special thing. I don't have anything really that you can use in a mighty way. And God says, hush, 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 hush. All I want is you. Okay, Lord. That's what you want. And God makes something new out of this. It's out of the same barrel that this new oil comes. Jesus comes to the wedding at Cana. And Mary says to Jesus, they ran out of wine. He says, what do I have to do with thee? My time's not yet. And they go forward a little bit. Jesus said, fill the water pots. They filled the water pots. And again, we said it before, but thank God they didn't just go halfway. They filled them to the brim. Well, how much does he want us to fill it up? I don't know. Just fill it up. By the way, when you don't know, just fill it up. What does God want me to do? I don't know. If he wants you to do something, go full force and all the way in with it. God wants you to teach a class here at church. God wants you to help out in some area. Do something. I don't know. Let's just go in. Yesterday, we had some of you dear folks. We gave you stacks of these cards. And how many do you want us to pass out? I said, just pass out as many as you can. You came back and said, we got rid of all of them. I said, praise the Lord, okay? Just throwing them out the window. No, we didn't do that. We didn't do that. What do we do? Just go full force. Go all the way in. Paul says that you're talking about a God in Ephesians 3:20. Who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think. God never does anything half full. God never does anything halfway. Just fill it up. Do your part. Exercise great faith in God. God will do his part. God will do his part. The barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail. I think about that. This lady now is telling all of her neighbors, she's telling everyone in the village, hey, look what I've got. Hey, great, can we have some? Absolutely. And again, this is what we're doing. The gospel is this. We're just telling one person where we found the truth, right? One beggar telling another beggar where they found some bread. Hey, let me tell you about what God's done for me. No, thank you. Okay, next. Hey, let me tell you about what Jesus has done for me. I don't have time. Okay, let me tell you what. We don't get discouraged and frustrated. We keep on going. Why? Because we know the truth. And he says this, and the lady goes, and can you imagine what she did? She made some cakes here, and she had a little party there, and made some muffins and all kinds of things, nice cornbread and beans, some tortillas over here with some carne asada. I mean, she's having a good time. I mean, she has it going. And they realize what it was. It's from the Word of God. God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. We live in a world today that says just quit. Just give up. Give up on your marriage. Give up on your job. We need finishers in the house of God and in the will of God. Willing to trust God. This widow woman says, well, I just have enough to put two sticks together, make a little fire, maybe put a little pancake, if you will, on the griddle there, and that's it. We're going to eat it, and we're going to die. If we die, we're going to at least have something in our stomach. That's the pessimism. That's the lack of faith today. How many people, how many churches today do we have that? Well, better just show up to church. Better do our part. I don't know what's going to happen. I haven't seen anyone saved. I don't know what to do. I mean, just every time, it's just problem after problem. Put a little cake on there on the griddle. We'll eat it and die. No. You go ahead and do what God wants you to do. Although we don't have much now, we're going to trust God to provide. We know God's at work. If you're going to thrive in the new year, you know this. Put it forward. Shift gears. Go forward and say, God, by God's grace, I will trust in Him. Don't look at the things in front of you. Don't look at the evidence in front of you. What you're looking at is a little handful of meals, a little tiny thing of oil that's left. You look over at that little boy who's sick. He's not well. He hasn't eaten in 2 or 3 days. He hasn't been doing well. He's been sick to his stomach. I mean, he's not looking good. And she looked over at her little boy. She looked at that. And then she all of a sudden saw a man walking into town. Leather girdle on. Some grasshopper legs hanging out of his mouth. Bible says he ate a wild locust. He's a rough-looking guy. What in the world? Long white beard, scruffy. You could tell he's been sleeping out by the campfire. He's got the campfire smell. You know, you can't get that off of you for about 3 days after camping. What do you want? Well, Lord sent me here. I want to be a blessing if I can. I want to do what you want me to do. How many people are waiting for us to obey the Word of God? How many people in your life are waiting for you to trust God? They can't trust God. They don't have the spiritual maturity. But you can, and I can, and they're waiting for us to do something for God so they can look at it and go, hey, God is truth. The Word is true. I can trust Him. Okay, I have some points here. Maybe we'll get to it next week. I don't know. We'll see. To see how God is at work and what He is doing. Now, where are you at? Are you down to the bottom? Is there not much left there in the barrel? Trust God. He's at work. He knows what He's doing. We sang the song today, I know whom I have believed. If you know the background of that, Paul's writing to Timothy, who at the time, Timothy was dealing with a very difficult ministry. Paul says, I'm mindful of thy tears. I know what you're going through, Timothy. But he says this, I know whom I have believed. I want to remind you about that. I want to remind you that God is still on the throne. God is able. Trust in Him. Okay, where are you at today? You can thrive in the new year. You can thrive. You can do your part, okay?